Please excuse me. I saw this very interesting story. It's again, I got this new safe full of stories, unbelievable stories. It's Michael Stern. He brings one stuff. It's such beautiful stories. He says over there. Unfortunately, I don't read a lot because I put this in my, it's my nighttime lecture. You know, I can't read a lot before I fall asleep. It doesn't take very long. But I managed to get through.
You can't read a lot. You share it all.
I don't get very far. He does say a very interesting story about Rabbi Levin. It's Moed Gemaisa. Rabbi Levin became Chosn of the Kali. He was very poor. But famous Rabbi Levin. So he was. When he got married, so after the chuppah he went to ched yichud, and the minhag is by in ched yichud that you give, I think that's universal minhag, you keep a piece of jewelry to the kala, and that's universal minhag, right? In the ched yichud you give a jewelry to the kala after the chuppah, and he was in the ched yichud with his kala, and he said, you know, dear kala, I can't give you jewelry because I know the minhag is to give something, but I just simply haven't got the financial means. I haven't got anything. I couldn't buy anything. But instead of that, I want to give you the following, he says. Rabbi Levin, he was 18 or 19 years old. He said, I want to give you the following, that from now onwards, whenever there's a disagreement, I'm telling you that, I'm going to be mevater. That's what I'm giving you. That's the gift I'm giving you. I give you this, whenever there's a disagreement, I'll be mevater. And so that's incident. And she accepted it. She said, very nice. And she said, many, many years later, and they lived for many, many happy years, he said, the reality is that he kept to his word. He kept his word. It was for however many years, he was always in water. So, Shane Meisel. Okay. Pardon? Yeah. Okay, let's continue with a bit more Hilchas Beira, a shayla which I saw over the, in Eucha Shabbos discussing. Rabbi said, what is your feeling about Beira Sforim? We finished off yesterday discussing a little bit about Beira of items, and we spoke about even the spoon shayla falling into the dustbin. The spoon falling to the dustbin chat. I would like to ask, what's the halacha with regards to Beira of Sforim? It was mentioned the other day. Beira of Sforim. In other words, if you've got a pile of Sforim on the table, and you want to now, because you learned the Geshmak HaSeder, you first start off from a Gemara, you went into a Rambam, the Rambam then brought the Mishneh Berurah, the Mishneh Berurah checked another Sefer, and you end up having quite a few Sforim on the table. Now you want to select them back into the shelf. In a particular order. Is it Mutter or is it Beira? You take first the Mishneh Berurah because it's the closest, then the Shulchan Aruch because it's next, the Gemara later on. Is this a problem? Yes or no? Question number one. Similar question as well. Maybe there's room for distinguishing, but what if you have got quite a few Sforim on the shelf, on the Sforim Shank, on the shelf, and you are picking one or the other? Picking one or the other, is that a problem? And just you choose one over the other, and would that be a problem as well of Beira? You know, is it Beira with Sforim or not? In these cases mentioned.
When you're picking one over the other, it's like taking the shirt out of the pile of shirts.
And therefore?
Should be okay.
As long as you...
When you go for one you want.
One you want, and then you're gonna use it. You're going to use it, yeah. So the answer is potentially, let's start with the starting point.
Books on the shelf, you're talking about books on the shelf.
Yeah.
What about books on the table?
Yeah, good, very good. So let's address that, because the consensus of the poskim is that if you've got a Sforim shelf with clearly labeled Sforim, like for instance over here in the back of this Bes Medrash, and you're choosing one and you're realizing that that it's not this Masechta that I wanted, this is not Beira. Why? Why is it not Euchel Mitech Pseulis? A Pseulis Mitech Euchel. It's not the one you wanted. Pardon? But it's not the one you want. You wanted Brachas, you end up taking Shabbos. You wanted Bermutzi, and you took up Avakama by mistake. Pseulis Mitech Euchel. Why is it not Pseulis Mitech Euchel? So the answer to that question is, because it's not considered a Taurovus. It's not considered a mixture. They are clearly labeled, and you can see which one is which one it is. No, I'm saying, on all, you can see which one is which. And therefore, by truth, even if you make a mistake, but really, it is that it's not considered a taruvus. The consensus of the poskim I saw, even very machmirim, they agree that it's not considered a taruvus. And it is therefore not considered boyer in the first place to choose one over the other. It's not considered boyer. The question is, well, I saw that the poskim are a bit more stringent. That's with regards to svarim which are not clearly labeled, when it's not so clearly identifiable. For instance, look at the bottom shelf over here, which you cannot see clearly anymore which sefer is which. Or, in fact, antique svarim. If you go antique svarim, they all look pretty much the same from the outside, and you are choosing then the wrong one. That may be considered boira, because here you've got a taruvus. That is considered a mixture. That is not clear which one is which, and here hilchos boira will apply. So how do you rectify that? Exactly the way Mr. Berlin suggested, that yes, if you have taken the wrong sefer, this would be considered boir. If they're not clearly labeled and clearly identifiable, what are you going to do then? You can read, just learn two lines from it, and then you're fine. So we're saying the haroma is fine in this case. Haroma will be fine here too. Because learning Torah is, every letter is learning Torah, and therefore you are learning Torah, and therefore it's a haroma muteras. Pardon? Yes, exactly the same. As long as you're nice, you're making ishtamshus, it's muter. Right. Okay. These are.
So get back to the case where they're all on the table already.
Yes. So.
They are choosing. They might be different.
Yeah. So here the poskim as well. They are matir. Although I saw that one of the poskim is machmir, but I think that it's true to say that the consensus to be matir, because the maisa, they are clearly identifiable. It's not something which is hard to distinguish, and therefore it's not considered taruvus, and therefore the chesbir do not apply. That's a good question. What do you think? No, 1 minute. You mean putting them back? If they are on the table and you want to put them back? Yeah, that's fine. They are clearly identifiable, I believe, and I think that should be fine. Yeah. Okay. Haboyir Psalit, we're up to Simon Tzin Yud Test, and we're up to Siv Dalet. And we can be learning the following words in Shulchan Aruch. Haboyir Psalit Mitoch Oichal. If a person chooses psalit from Oichal, hafilu biyad achaz, even one hand, chayev. If you're taking it with one hand, it will not help. Taking one hand or taking two hands, it doesn't make it any better if it's psoilis metoich oichel. If you're taking the shells or the bones, and you think that just because you're doing it with one hand, I ain't going to make it better. Chayef, you're still chayef. One hand, two hands, doesn't make a difference. V'afil oichel merubah, even if the oichel is more than the psoilis, v'yishoyis etoich bebriyaz ha-oichel, afil oichel ha-ivur ha-psoilis, afilu k'delech ha-le'alta. Here comes the chiddush. What will be the halacha, Rabbosai, if there is more oichel than psoilis? Normally, by definition, when we have oichel and psoilis, the psoilis is more than the oichel. So, for instance, but here we're learning that it doesn't make a difference if there's more psoilis or more oichel. Do not tell me that it's a greater ticha. No, it doesn't make a difference. And if you take the oichel mitach psoilis, that's muta. To take the psoilis out of the oichel, that's going to be also. And that's what the Ramos Mechadish over here. We're moving on to see if, hey, Haboyer Turmasin. Now, Turmasin is a very, very bitter food. A very bitter food. And it's a kind of bitter herb or spice, which, and it comes with, and normally the way you cook it is with psoilis. It comes with a certain psoilis. There's a Turmasin, the actual Turmasin which you eat. And then next to it is a bit of psoilis as well. I don't even know if it's a shell or a leaf. It comes with the psoilis. Now, if you take the boira, if you're a boira, you're choosing the turmasin over the psoilis, you're still chayev. Haboira turmasin mitoch psoilis shalem chayev. Why is that? Surely that's considered boira hoichel mitoch psoilis, because you're taking the turmasin out of its psoilis. But it's still chayef. Why is it chayef? Because normally what will happen is, this turmasin is a very, very bitter food. In order to decrease its bitterness, in order to make it a little bit more palatable, is that the word?
Palatable.
I don't know if it's milrao, milel, yeah, it's palatable. Okay, if you want to make it a bit more edible, So what you do is you take it with a psoilus and you cook it with a psoilus. So it's true. Imagine you've got a shell or a leaf which comes with this very strong herb. And normally you'd only eat the actual tomasin. But it's so strong and it's so bitter, you cook it with its psoilus in order to decrease its bitterness and its sharpness. Therefore, by taking the tomasin from its psoilus, you're still actually chayev. Why? Because the psoilus is also an oichel in a way. Because you need it. It's necessary for its cooking. Therefore, you mustn't take the tomasin from its psoilus. So again, aboyer tomasin mitach psoilus and chaim, which psoilus and matakes also makes it sweeter. Cheshul koisim haim when you cook it together with the tomasin. Venim tzoy turns out kevoyer psoilus mitach oichel. You are, and therefore, although the tomasin is the main food, but still by picking and choosing the tomasin, you're still choosing the psoilus mitach oichel and you're chayev. See, vav. Yeah, but it's still, but in it's still considered. It's interesting. Yeah, but even you, I hear what you're saying. It's a shame. It's a very nice aura. But the answer to that is that even for you, you still need the psoilus because you can't eat the tomasin in its own. You require and you benefit from the psoilus here, and therefore it's still considered taking the psoilus with the oichel. Yeah. Look at the words of the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yutes. Mimatekes oisam, mibala dei zeh, haturmus mar meoid. Without this psoilus, the turmus is very, very bitter. V'choshev ke psoilus, and it is considered a psoilus. The turmus is still considered a psoilus. V'ha psoilus einu mar kol kach, and the psoilus is not so bitter, it's a little bit less. And therefore, still by taking the tomasin out, it's still psoilus mitoich oichel. You're saying that relative to you, yeah, I suppose because you're still in the process of cooking it, you will still cook it, admittedly on Shabbos, but you will still cook it, so you still need the psoilus. So the psoilus is still considered an oichel, and the tomasin is still considered a psoilus. You will not cook it on Shabbos, but you will still need the psoilus after Shabbos. Yeah, but if you take the tomasin out now, so it's the tomasin is still considered a psoilus for you personally. Because you will need, at some point, you will still benefit from its leaves around it, which will still serve a benefit for you. It's therefore, the tomasin is still considered a psoilus. You're right, what I'm hearing from you is, what would be the aloha if you've cooked this tomasin already, and it's not bitter anymore? Then maybe, perhaps you're right then. It could be that this aloha is only said before it's been cooked. And then you chayev because you still need to round it. But it could be that, I think that you're probably right, that if it's cooked already, you don't need the psoilus around it, then it's oichel mitoch psoilus, yeah. Siv vof, ein moedeni melilis, grain! Parched grain, in the olden days you'd eat grain. So that's moedeni melilis. So if you moedeni melilis is to really, to crush and to thresh the grain. And you don't have to do that. So you have the grain, and you're taking you're making that kind of movement to take away the psoilus from the grain, to remove the shells of the actual grain. You don't have to do that. Elomol b'shinu me'at push its boisab. The traditional normal way, which would include a greater involvement, that would be also what you're allowed to do. B'shinu me'at b'rosh its boisab. If you do it with just your fingertips, and that's the way you're taking the grain, you're clearing the grain from its shells, that is permitted. By just the roshets boys of the tips of your finger, that you're allowed to do. Now, what's the chiddush here? And although, you're doing a mefarek, you're still mefarek, which is a linked melocha to boirer. Here, really, the Ramah is linking, Shulchan Aruch is linking now boirer to mefarek. Mefarek is mefarek. Is very similar to Boira. He's the melacha of being mefarek, of making into parts, disaggregating. So, very good. No, no, very good. It is aggregating, befarek, and by doing that, that's a melach in its own. So there's boira, which is selecting. Mefarek is disaggregating, which means making one unified item into several items, in a manufacturing process normally. So he says that by doing the afal pishim mefarek oilch mitoicha shibolim. Normally you'd say that doing this, they take this grain and take the shallow out of it, then normally you would say that's a typical mefarek. That's a very conventional type of mefarek. But no, it says it's not mefarek. Mefarek over here we're learning that mefarek has got, in this particular case, the same heter. And since you're mefarek, just to eat right now, you're doing oichel mitoch psoilis, and you're doing miyad, and you're doing beyad, therefore the same conditions then boira apply, and therefore it's going to be mutter in this case.
So the actual difference?
You're doing this, and you're taking the grains.
By the winnowing.
Similar, that's the we're going to get to that as well.
The actual difference between the mefarek and boira, the boira is one good thing from boira's bad thing, whereas the mefarek is lots of different goods and bads simultaneously.
No, so that's a very good question. What is exactly the difference between those three melachas that you mentioned? That's a very good question. Many Yishonim are busy trying to explain that and understand that, and so Achronim. The easiest answer probably... Okay, so it's a very good question. It's a really good question. The main answer... There are three melachas that seem to be very similar. Yeah? Yeah?
Mefarek, Boira, and...
Zoyre. They're all winnowing and selecting boira and a mefarek, which is disaggregating. They all seem to be very, very similar in essence. Very similar. Now, to exactly understand differences is a challenge which you should battle with. The poshta answer is probably that boira is something which is very, very much food related. It's something which is doing straight before prior to eating. Zoira and mefarek is not necessarily close to food. It's normally pashtus. It's more about the manufacturing process. When you're trying to produce a food, that's when you do the zoira and the mefarek.
Would you say boira applies to coats and to
storage? Yeah, so it could be that backwards as well. Yeah, but it's true. Yeah, it's a good question. Why is it not mefarek? Because there you're not... Yeah. Yeah, because it's not mefarek, because it's not one item there. Mefarek is always one item, which is making too far. Yeah, it's a very good question. Yeah, what did he answer? Oh yeah, good. Yeah, that's what there's some Shnaisi teachers. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very good. Okay. V'yesh machmir and some machmir. Here again, some machmir. V'lochein also lefarek egoizim luzim or egoizim gdoilim mitoch klipos and irukov. Now the Ramovi is talking about the green shells of hazelnuts and walnuts. Have you ever seen them? Because I think I saw once a picture, but it's not normally what we get in the shops. Hazelnuts and walnuts have got a green shell. Have you seen them? I think I saw them once. Hazelnut, walnut. Who is the expert?
Walnuts are not
brown. Yeah. So more external than that, there's another shell which is green. I don't think we normally see them. Oh. I'm going to get Reb Google now. Yeah. To see pictures? Oh, no.
Hazelnuts
and walnuts. Outer shell, which are meant to be green. So what the Ramo is teaching us, then there is a green external...
Hazelnuts seem very brown. Almost like conkers.
And there is an outer shell, more external than that, which is meant to be green. Any green element to it? Yeah.
Only the leaf in the background, that's just...
Oh, is that just the leaf in the background? How about hazelnut? Is that hazelnut or walnut?
Serving suggestion. Walnut. I think the walnut's got green.
Oh, that's good. That's good, we're getting there.
Not so much in heaven.
Yes, good. Okay. Yeah, can you see that? An outer shell, which is, would you say green?
On the brown side.
Greenish. greenish brownish, shall we say. Okay, it's an external. Okay, so lochen also lefarik goizim luzim or goizim kdoilim mitoch klipos nirukot. There is an outer shell which according to the Rama is green, and to mimefarik that, to break that into pieces, that will also be considered an issa mefarik, which will be also tov lehachmir meacha. It is proper to be machmir. If it is possible to eat it without it, to without doing mafarik, without taking that apart, then that one should do that because one should be machmir if possible at all. Yeah. Okay, that's with regards to mafarik. Yeah, the Bialochovi does also discuss exactly a little bit about the difference between Nefarik and Boira. Yeah.
Which one?
The Bialoch, I think it's either Chayev, the Bibo Mask of Chayev. Yes, or, yeah, I think that might be the one. Yeah. 1 minute, let's see if that's... Yeah, I think that one will help a bit. You're right. Okay. Rabbi said, just to summarize what we covered this evening, we learned about the... we mentioned that the Hilchos Boira applying to Sforim as well. We discussed Shulchan Aruch Seif Dalet, which tells us there's no difference as to whether you use one hand or two hands. It doesn't help in any way to do psalis mitochel with one hand. We spoke about the amount of teurech, whether it's greater psalis or greater amount of oichel, doesn't make a difference. Oichel mitoch psalis is mutter, psalis mitochel is also, doesn't make a difference what the quantities are. We spoke about the tumasin, which the psalis has value as well, prior to cooking, and because it takes away some of the bitterness. Therefore, by taking the tumas out of its psoilis, you're still chai, because the tumas in its own is still considered the psoilis. We spoke about melilas, which is to this grain, but if you do it borosh, it's borosh, which is this great chinui, that would be mutter. Otherwise, it's considered mefarik. Similarly also, to take out the nuts, out of their shells, in these greater shells around it, which are considered the green shells, that one should also be machmir by the hazelnuts and the walnuts, which would be considered mafarik. Good evening, Rabbi Yisai.